we can use those creativities, that creativity, when we get back together. But in any case, one thought that was going through my mind is how God has created us and how God has designed us for a purpose. God created us for a purpose. God has a plan for our lives. Even when we think God has a plan for our lives, God is still working things out. And so I thank God for that. And we only have a couple of scriptures here. If you can just turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Verses 4 through 9, and we're going to get there. And the other one is Luke chapter 19. And then a little touch on the scriptures, but God is our purpose. And I think we honor by serving Him faithfully and honoring and recognizing that He created us. Nothing that God likes more to see people doing what He designed them to do. Whatever that purpose may be, whatever that calling may be, I believe that God, that His children are called. And I also think when we fulfill the call of God, we get a blessing out of it because we're doing what God has called us to do. I think today, with all that is going on, people are reevaluating what's important in their life. They're reevaluating what's a priority, what is life all about. Many people are taking a closer look at their lives and even discovering new purposes and goals for their lives. Because in the end, purpose matters. What we do, especially what we do for God, matters. As people, as human beings, we want to feel that we are fulfilled in some way, that we are accomplished in doing something. No one likes to waste time. We want to make sure that we're doing things that are purposeful. I mentioned before that even during this COVID-19, people are getting creative. Some of us that we're so used to moving around, staying at home is driving us crazy. We have to find something to do. I'm pretty sure my wife is liking this. I hung up some lights. I put up a gym set. I got very creative. I had to find some kind of purpose while I'm home to do something. And I'm pretty sure, and of course you hear amen from her in the background, but it's all about purpose, find purpose. And if we can read from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, and then I'll read it. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb," and speaking of Jeremiah, "I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation." God already had a plan for Jeremiah while he was in the womb, already had a purpose for his life. "Then said I, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, ye shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth." This is God speaking to Jeremiah and outlining the plan that he had for his life, the purpose that he has for his life. And when we think about purpose, even from the early stage of our lives, people are asking us, even from a child, what do you want to do in the future? What do you want to do when you grow up? We ask our teenagers this. What do you want to do? What do you want to be? They can be 9 years old, and we're already asking them what your future looks like. What purpose do you have for your life? We start with them even at a young age, whether you want to be an accountant or a tech, a carpenter, whatever it is. We want to know, even from an early age, that you're thinking about doing something in your life, that you have kind of a purpose set forth in your life. The other day, my son came to me, a little JJ. He said, "Dad, I want to be a doctor," and he pointed out another career, "and I want to do this, and I also want to be a superhero." And I said, okay, I get it. Hopefully he's going to grow out of that. But he did say to me, he said, "Dad, but I want you to let you know my first choice is," and of course something welled up in me, "of course my first choice is I want to be a superhero." So let's pray for JJ that his purpose in life will change. God bless you. But even from a young age, it's all about purpose. We want to make sure that our children, that they are achieving something, that they have a plan for their life, that they have a life of meaning. Even as adults, we will even admit, even if we're 40 years old or 50 or younger, sometimes we even ask ourselves, am I doing what God wants me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Is this my purpose in life? And even if we did something, and even if we fulfill some chapter in our lives, even as adults, we say, God, is there something else you want me to do? Is there some other purpose you want me to fulfill? Having purpose and finding purpose in our lives is important to us as people, especially as people of God. A life of purpose. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about, a little bit about, is a life of purpose. Several years ago, well, more than 15 years ago, almost 20 years ago, and many of us can remember that there was a popular book called The Purpose-Driven Life, written by Pastor Rick Warren. And I'm pretty sure we're all familiar with that book. Somehow you heard about it or you read through it. The Purpose-Driven Life. And he said it was a blueprint of Christian living in the 21st century. A lifestyle that's not based on God's, that's based on God's eternal purpose and not cultural value.
Mm-hmm.
His idea was, when it comes to purpose, true purpose, it is based on God's eternal purpose for your life and not just what the culture is expecting of you. According to the post said, the Purpose-Driven Life, this book was the best-selling hardback in U.S. history, sold more than 30 million copies, translated in over 50 languages. People were interested in discovering their God-given purpose. And they still want to know that. Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? That book was so successful that it sold so many copies. And thank God, when we think about purpose, when we think about calling, thank God that we can find these answers in Jesus Christ. And so for those who are looking to the left or to the right or looking for somebody to answer these questions for them, we can say that we know when we point to scripture, when we look at our lives and what God has done for us, that he has given us purpose. And so when we think about a life of purpose, it has to be wrapped up in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it only makes sense. The one who designed us knows what's best for us.
Right.
The one who has created us knows what we should be doing and what we should not be doing.
Right.
So when we think about a life of purpose, thank God we have a relationship with Jesus Christ that keeps us on the right road. When you have a purpose, you stay on the right track. Or at least you're supposed to, when you have purpose. When you have a goal, it helps you to stay on the right track. When you look at the story here of Jeremiah, and we're all familiar with this story. Jeremiah, he gives a picture of how an almighty God can work with somebody for their divine calling. Even though he was reluctant, even though he wasn't sure if this is for him, this is where a step of faith comes in. Sometime when God is calling us and guiding us in the way he wants us to go or for his purpose, sometime we can't understand, God, why are you taking me this way? What is the purpose of this? In fact, God, we're going through a pandemic right now. What is the purpose of this? What can I get out of this? But God always has a plan. And as a people of God, it's up to us to trust God, knowing that he's sovereign,
yes,
and that he knows exactly what he's doing.
Right, right.
And even to think that this sovereign God, this almighty God, wants to have a relationship with us and give us purpose and give us hope. There were those who believed that God created us, but then he left his creation alone. He went about his business. And he allowed us to do what we want us to do. But when I read scripture, it tells us that God created us and that he wanted to have a relationship with us. He wanted us to live a life of purpose, a life that makes sense, a life that we can feel a sense of accomplishment. When we look at this sovereign God and how powerful he is, even in Psalm chapter 8, verse 4, it says, what is man that you remember him or mindful of him? The son of man that you look after him? To think that this God is so mighty and still wants to be involved in our lives. I want to serve this God. He cares so much for me that he cares about the road that I'm taking and the way which I go. God wants to have a personal relationship with his creation. And you can, I can't hear you, but you can say amen anyway. God, and when he's directing our lives, the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his ways. Now it does say the steps of a good man. We'll leave that to God whether we're good or not. But when we are good, God delighted in our way, and God orders our way. And now when we think about purpose, it plays out differently in our lives. Purpose may look different from you than what I expect what purpose should be for my life. It plays out in different ways. It plays out in different places for us, in our different careers, in our different vocations, in our different callings. Whatever it may be that God is calling you to do, or the purpose that he has for your life, we want to make sure that we're trying to fulfill that purpose. I personally think that we will never be satisfied or never be fulfilled until we do what God is calling us to do. Yeah, that's how I feel. Jeremiah kind of discovered this, that God called him, and although he was reluctant, God still wanted to use him to do a work, to reach out to people. God called him to be a prophet. And you talk about, and you think about purpose, the Bible said that when he was in the womb, when he was in his mom's belly, God said, I knew you. And it's just a reminder that it doesn't matter where we are, what we're going through, what we're struggling. And even as people of God, we sometimes feel, where are you? God, I haven't heard from you. God, I need to feel your touch. But God is still in the midst. And thank God, he still knows about us. Yes. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows the struggles. He knows the pain. He knows what we're going through. Even in the midst of our purpose, God knows exactly what we're going through. And so he said, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were even born, and I sanctified you. I set you apart. I separated you because I have a purpose for you. And overall, I think when God is calling us and when God has a purpose for our life, sometimes God has to just set us aside, because there are times where God wants to speak to us, and sometimes because of the distractions around us, God can't get a word through. So sometimes God has to set us aside and separate us and sanctify us and make us holy, to bring us to the place where we can hear him, and also bring us to a place where we can do his work. The God who has called us is the God who definitely can prepare us. So in Jeremiah, the Bible said that God knew him even before he was born. He sanctified him. And although Jeremiah was living in chaotic times, and we can say amen to that, chaotic times, times where it's just so much uncertainty, Jeremiah was during these times. He witnessed a revival initiated by King Josiah, but he also saw where his people were taken in bondage. And in this, God was calling him to fulfill his purpose. Sometimes it seems kind of odd or strange when God is calling us to do something when everything around us seems so chaotic. God, can you just wait till things settle down a little bit in my life? God, can you just wait till my financial whatever gets back to where I need it to be? I think sometimes God would like to move in chaotic times, because then we rely on him and not just on our resources. But when you think about purpose and the purpose that God has for you, God wants to remind you that he's the one that's going to get to glory, or he's the one that wants the glory in the end. So sometimes God has to use us in the midst of chaotic times so we can trust in him, so we can stand on his promises. Think about it. Think about if there was a time in your life where you believed that you were in the will of God, that God had called you, you're fulfilling the purpose of God, but things got a little hectic. Things got a little scary, and you're wondering if God is still there. In these times, God wants us to trust in him even more. It's in these times God wants to remind us that he's our source of strength, our source of power. And so we should continue to lean on him. So Jeremiah, although he was living in a time of chaos where his people were taken captive, God called him to be a prophet in those troubling times. And I think God is doing the same thing for us. God is still giving us purpose if we would just continue to surrender ourselves to God. One thing that stood out in Jeremiah, this is in chapter 2, when God was telling Jeremiah about his purpose and what he wanted to do, he said, here you have a nation. I want you to go to these people that that used to love me, that used to serve me. Now they have changed their gods for other gods. He said, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and made broken cisterns that I cannot hold water. God said to Jeremiah, I want you to speak to those people who should know me, who had a relationship in me. Now, Jeremiah was saying, God, let me paraphrase. These people know about your commandments already. They know about your law. Maybe they need to be reminded, but, and you're saying it's my purpose to reach out to these people? Think about it this way. You ever try to reach out to family members and you know that God wants to see them saved? Sometimes the hardest people to reach are your family members or people who are backslidden. Why? Because they heard it all before.
That's right.
You know, I've been there before. What are you going to tell me that's new? But if God is calling us and if it's a part of our purpose to do God's will, we have to go anyway. They may reject us, Jeremiah, they may reject you, but God is calling you for a purpose and God is doing the same thing for us. What is our purpose? What is God calling us to do? If we are in God's purpose, will we continue to do what God wants us to do? Jeremiah said, God, I'm too young. God said, I can use you anyway. Moses said, God, I'm not an eloquent speaker. God said, I can use you anyway. This is your purpose. Moses said, God, I can't do it. God got fed up. God gave him Aaron. Sometimes God has to give us some help so we can fulfill our purpose. But if God is calling us to do something, if God has a purpose in our life, God is God enough to help us get through that purpose.
Amen.
I can do it. Whether you feel inadequate, whether you feel vulnerable or fearful, God can bring you through. But this said in Acts chapter 1, think about it. You talk about purpose. This said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I like that it said here that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. God was letting them know from the beginning, his disciples, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I am calling you to do a work. There was a purpose for your life, but I'm not going to send you out there on your own power, on your own strength. I'm going to give you what you need to do what I called you to do. As people of God, I believe that promise is still for us today. God is calling us to do some reaching, some touching, to do some miracles for him, whether it's a job, at school, wherever it may be. God is calling us. It's a part of our purpose to be ambassadors for God. I will touch on that a little bit later on, but God has given us the power and the strength to do what God has called us to do. And even as a leader in the church or as a pastor, I'm pretty sure pastors get excited when the people of God are fulfilling their calling because it makes their job a lot easier, right, Pastor?
That's right.
When the people are doing what God is calling them to do according to God's purpose, you don't have time to break up bickering and all these frivolous things that's going on in church because everybody is focused on what God wants them to do. And if we can ever get to that place, including me, that we can just abide in God's will, abide where God wants to use us and the purpose that he has for our life, it's no telling what we can do in the kingdom of God. It's no telling what we can do, even our local church and our community, for the people of God, where we have a mindset where if God called me to do something, I am going to focus on what God is calling me to do.
Amen.
Ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. I'm going to read it from a different version here. And as apostolic believers, we believe that God is still calling us and that we are representing God. And when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, you know what? Will somebody else read that for me, please? Make sure they're not dozing off on me.
Who wants to read?
Anybody want to read, or I'll just read?
I can read it, Brother Bell. It says, all this, with 18 to 20?
Yes, please.
All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So even from Corinthians, we're reminded that, yes, Christ did a work, reconciled people back to him, but he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, and that we are ambassadors for Christ. God, if there's no other purpose you could think of that God wants you to do, one thing that you can keep in mind, that God called you to be an ambassador for him. God called you to represent him and to represent his kingdom. In fact, I think of it this way, that we are God's hands, that we are God's feet. There's always something to do in the kingdom of God. And so if you feel that you don't have any purpose, or you don't know what that purpose is, I would suggest to you, or suggest to all of us, that maybe we should start to where God wants us to reach out to people, to spread the gospel, to spread love. That's something that we all can do. That's a purpose that we all can be a part of, being God's ambassadors. Let us not ever forget, that's one of the greatest calling that we have, is to go out in the world to preach and to teach the gospel. That is a part of God's purpose for our lives. When I think about Jesus, and if somebody, you don't have to read it, if you could just turn to Luke 19, verse 10. And some of us can quote that scripture. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. We can summarize Jesus coming to the earth in that verse right there, that he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You talk about purpose. Jesus was the greatest example of somebody who had a purpose and stuck with it. Jesus was, think about it, when he was 12 years old, the Bible tells us that his parents, they went up to Jerusalem for the feast Passover. It's a yearly gathering. And the Bible says that when they finished with the feast and his parents were returning back home, and they didn't realize that Jesus was not with them. And they were gone, I think it was over 3 days. And of course, as parents, you get a little frantic, and they realized he wasn't in the caravan with them. So the Bible tells us that they went back to go look for Jesus. They went back and they found him sitting among teachers or doctors, listening to them and asking questions. And of course, as parents, any reasonable, normal parent, you're going to grab your child and say, I'm sorry, I've been looking for you for a long time. Where have you been? But we all know Jesus' response. You talk about purpose and focus. He said, why are you searching for me? Don't you know that I have to be about my Father's business? Even as a 12-year-old, yes, I know he was God manifested in the flesh. But even as a 12-year-old, he understood what his purpose was in life. Why he came to this earth. He understood that right from the beginning. We read Luke chapter 19, verse 10, where it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He knew his purpose was to die. Even when he was in the garden, and he said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, if you want to look at that, Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, Jesus said, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. What this says to me, that even in the midst of God's purpose for your life, there are going to come some times where you're going to say, God, if this is not for me, I wouldn't mind giving it up. Lord, give this to somebody else and let them handle this. Lord, let them deal with these difficult people. Lord, let them teach this person here. Even in the midst of your purpose, you're going to find times where you just don't want to do this, or you would rather not. But I think this is where our faith comes in, and where we say our faith and courage comes in, where we say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. If this is your purpose for my life, if this is what you're calling me to do, Lord, just give me the strength and the courage to continue on, because you realize if it's God's purpose, it has to be a blessing for you and indirectly a blessing for other people. There are some harsh realities when it comes to the calling and purpose of God in our lives. And I'm sure some of us have experienced those realities. Calling yourself a Christian is more than just going to church. It's kind of doing some things. It's kind of stepping out on faith. It's times where things, as I said before, are a little scary. Those are some realities that we may think are negative when it comes to living for God. But if God is in the ship with us, then we know that everything's going to be all right. And then God is going to help us fulfill our calling and the purpose for your lives. I think when I was a youth leader for years, I think that was one of the biggest questions. What is God calling me to do? What is my purpose? What is God's purpose for my life? And as leaders and teachers, we can just guide people. We can't tell them exactly what God wants them to do, but we're hoping that they will get so connected to God that God will start to reveal some things to them, and God will reveal their purpose to them, and they will fulfill what God wants them to do. There are some harsh realities that God gives us, although we are trying to fulfill His purpose. Now, another reality is God can call us to do something, as we all know. God can have a calling and purpose for our life, like He did Jeremiah. And although Jeremiah is reluctant, he did what God called him to do. But once in a while, you're going to get a Jonah that comes around. And some of us, we probably were Jonahs in our lives at some point. But God gave us a direct command. There are sometimes people say, God, I want to hear your voice. God, what's the purpose for my life? But sometimes when God speaks to us, we act like we're deaf. God, I didn't hear that from God. Can you, what was that again? God, are you sure? Or we go to 10 other people and said, I think God said this. And so we try to get the word that kind of leans in the direction where we want to go. But when God is calling us, you can reject God's calling. God has given us that prerogative to reject His calling or the purpose for our lives. But I think, and I like how God's love was demonstrated, even with dealing with Jonah. If we're saying, God, lead me, God, show me the way, even sometimes when we get a little fearful, God is still trying to work it out, trying to still bring us back on track. So the Bible tells us that God called Jonah to do a work, to go speak to the Ninevites, and Jonah went the other way. That wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's purpose. But in God's love, God shook up the boat where he was in. God had him end up in the belly of a big fish. God had him praying and what's that word? Reconsecrating his life back to him and his purpose. And in the end, although reluctant, Jonah still fulfilled what God wanted him to do. So even in the midst of God's calling and purpose for our lives, and God sometimes has to remind us that in the beginning, you said to me, Lord, thy will be done, or God, I'm going to serve you. And sometimes God has to help us out with that. And thank God he's not a God who's willing to just leave us. So in the midst of our purpose and plan, disruptions may come your way. And what I'm trying to do is trying to encourage us that even though there are some things that's happening in your life, there are some things around you, and you know people who have been sick and some people who are ill and we can't make it to church and some people lost their jobs and some people are working too much. Some people, there's a lot going on. In the midst of all of that, God still has a purpose for our lives. God is still working things out. We know that God can take a bad situation and God can pull something good out of it. We know that God can take a situation that we think is destroying us, and God can use that same situation to bring out some things in us that we didn't even know was there. Mm-hmm. And that's Amen. Only because that when we're going through things, we don't see right away what God is trying to do. But if God Amen. Is calling us for his purpose, and God is calling us to do a work for him, God is the one that can bring us through. There was a song that we sing every once in a while. It says, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I love that song. But my goodness, sometimes saying yes to what God wants me to do, it's easier to sing that song sometimes than to say yes. But I think if we continue to trust in God and to stand on his promises, and not saying to make life easier, but I think when we know that God has our back, then I think we got the courage to fulfill what God is calling us to do. There are still some Jeremiahs out there where God needs you to speak a prophetic word at your job, around your friends, in your community. God is still calling us today to do that, fulfill his purpose. Amen. And yes, we may not be eloquent, and yes, we may think we're young, or some of us may think we're too old, or we're too shy, or we have some insecurity. God can work out all of that. And thank God, scripture, I think, is so practical, because God shows us people who seem so inadequate, and God still used them to fulfill his purpose. And in the end, God gets all the glory. God gets all the honor. Unless you're like King Saul, where God said that he was hiding somewhere when they called him, and then he got to the point where he thought he was above God. He started doing things that were contrary to God's word. When we humble ourselves and realize God is calling us, and has a purpose for our lives, there's no telling what we can do. Amen. Praise God. And let me just end by saying this. I can't tell you what your purpose is. We can try to guide you. I'm still trying to work things out in my life. I love the purpose of God. You know, there's different chapters God has brought me through and brought my family through. But in the end, I know that I have to rely on God. In the end, I have to realize he's a source of power. And I think people of God, even while we're in our homes trying to figure out when all this is going to end, God is still working out a purpose for your life. And I encourage you to tap into what God wants to do for you. Let God open up those doors in your life. Let God close some of those doors that need to be shut in your life. Let God get something out of your life that should not be there. All of that, I think, is part of God's purpose, to make you the person that he wants you to be. And God sometimes is not going to elevate us or take us to some places unless we get to that point where he's molding and he's shaping and he's helping us to be what he wants us to be. Let's be encouraging the Lord that God still has a purpose for our life. God is still working it out. May God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank Amen. You, Brother. Actually, people, they got feedback. Thank you, Brother Bell, for such a wonderful lesson. And that is true. We need to allow God's purpose to flow within our lives. The Lord told Israel, he says, I know my thoughts for you. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. There's a lot of background noise coming from somewhere. The Lord says he knows his purpose, and he knows his plan, and he knows his thoughts. And sometimes we can get bogged down in trying to figure out the minute actions and callings in our lives. But we need to understand that when we read the Bible, especially when we read the letters to the churches, they were not letters for the most part. There's just there's one or two that are for individuals, but they're to the church. And so there is a purpose that we fit into that is the purpose of the church. And so there is a purpose that fits all of us. We are to be the salt of the earth. We're to be light. We're to be conduits of love and the character of God. We are to be carriers of the gospel message. And that's purpose for the whole church. So thank you, Brother Bell, for such a wonderful Bible study. And let us seek the purpose of God. Don't allow the times of being kind of locked away in our homes to take away from the fact of allowing God to speak into our lives. Sometimes the Lord has to get us into a cave in order for us to be able to hear the voice of God. And that's exactly what Elijah did. Elijah heard God's voice when he finally was locked up in a cave. So allow God to speak to your heart. Allow God to speak into your life. We'll be sending out something in the next day or two concerning a prayer meeting on Saturday. In the next week, we're going to start with a series on a letter from the King. So let's just today just pray, and let's just pray that us collectively, us individually, us as family units, that we would find that purpose and flow of God within our lives. Let's pray together. Precious Lord, we're so thankful for the Word of God. We're so thankful today, Lord, for the privilege that we have today, Lord God, of having the Word of the Lord. And I pray today, Lord, that we would not allow frustration and worry and anxiety, oh God, to deafen our ears to hearing the voice of God. Speak into the hearts of your people, Lord, I pray. Let them feel, oh God, a passion and a purpose, Lord, as it would flow within them today. Lord, that we would allow our light to shine. Lord, that we would allow our lives, oh God, today to make a difference. Lord, that when this is lifted and we're able, oh God, to gather together and go back to work and freely be able to move amongst society, Lord, that our lives, oh God, would be aglow with the power and the passion of God. Lord, we thank you today, Lord. I pray your blessing upon your people. I pray, Lord, that you would bless in every home and in every life, bless every family. Lord, I pray today that the joy and the presence of God would fill every home, oh God, that every home would become the sanctuary, dear Lord, of the presence of God. Lord, we give you praise and glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.
God bless you.
God bless. God bless everybody.
God bless. Bye, God. Good to see everybody. At least the ones that let us see you. You're hiding behind black name tags is what you're doing. There you are, Brother Joseph and Sister Faith. God bless you.
God bless all you.
Sister Dawn.
Hi, Tavia.
Hi.
How is everybody?
Good.
There's Meow Meow.
Oh, Sophia. Shania.
There's Stacy.
Hi.
What is that?
It's Sister Ann's phone or something.
Sister Ann.
Her audio is messed up, remember? That was happening last
time. And Terry.
Where am I?
Terry, Monica,
hi.
Sister Ann sent a message and she says to tell everybody hello.
And to ignore her phone.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi. How are you?
We miss you all. We miss you.
Miss you too.
I can't wait to be back in church.
I know.
Sister Ann said to pray for her phone.
Maybe I had no light in this room.
Hi, Joaquin. Now we can see you.
Oh, you turn all the lights off, huh?
Oh, exactly. If the camera is in, the light has to be off.
Oh, there's
it. It's like the ghost coming out of the corner.
Oh, yeah, I see a little bit of Sister Ann.
Sounds like an alien.
I saw you there for a minute, Sister Ann.
Poor Ann.
Brother Bell, you did an awesome job.
Yes, Brother Bell.
And you had a good backup back there. I saw Sister Bell back there. She was backing you up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, Megan.
But we had to lock JJ out.
I'm thinking Austin.
He'll distract us.
You locked him out?
No, we're not.
He's not in the original room.
Yeah, he's in a different room. He's just somewhere
else. He just wants to participate. Actively. He just wants to actively participate.
Yes, there you go.
Yes, exactly.
Great to see you guys again, though.
Yeah.
Nice seeing you.
You too.
Stay well. Absolutely.
I miss you guys.
Bye.
Megan!
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
God bless. We love you all.
I love you too.
Nice work in that basement. Wow, look nice.
Oh, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw some pictures. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous. And I put the spirit in the back for like
that was my purpose, brother. See? I found my purpose.
That's right. That's right.
What a real cat.
Nice.
Great to see you guys. So take care.
Yeah. God bless everybody.
Okay, God bless.
God bless. Love all of you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Stop recording this. I don't know.